The first four Mishnayos of the Perek described the Mizbeach, the large altar which stood in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and the next two Mishnayos talk about the other items which were situated in the courtyard, in the Azara. With Tabois, Hurlitz furnished on Mizbeach, there were rings to the north of the Mizbeach, Shisha Sedorim Shel Arba Arba. There were six rows of four rings in each row. The Eish Omerim, and according to other opinions, Arba Shel Sheish Eish, there were really four rows with six rings in each row. And these rings were not full circles, they were more semicircular, and their purpose was to hold the head of the animal, which was being brought as a korban, still, whilst the korban, that animal which was going to be brought as a sacrifice, is slaughtered. So the rings were able to be lifted up from the ground and then placed over the animal and fixed in the ground whilst the animal was being slaughtered. And the reason why there were 24 rings is because, as we've mentioned a couple of times already, the Koyanim who served in the Beis HaMikdash were split into 24 groups, 24 Mishmorais, and each Mishmar, each group of Koyanim, would serve in the Beis HaMikdash for a week at a time, and they would have their own ring that they would use for the korbanos, the sacrifices that they would bring during that week that they were serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Like the Mishnah says, Shalein Shechlin Sakadoshim, that using those rings they would slaughter the animals being brought as korbanos, being brought as sacrifices. Continues the Mishnah, Beis Hamit B'chayim, the designated area for slaughtering the korbanos, part of that area of course was taken up by these rings, and the Mishnah is going to describe what else was in that area. Hurlitz furnished Mizbeach, it was on the northern side of the Mizbeach. That area of the courtyard was designated for slaughtering korbanos because there are many types of korbanos, particularly kodshei kodshim, the korbanos which have a higher level of sanctity. There is a requirement to slaughter those on the northern side of the Mizbeach. Other korbanos with less sanctity can be slaughtered anywhere in the courtyard, but since there are certain korbanos which have to be slaughtered in the northern part of the courtyard, therefore, obviously, it made sense that the area for slaughtering the korbanos was placed on the northern side of the Mizbeach. So the part of this area which was the closest to the Mizbeach, that was the area of the 24 rings, V'olov, and in that area as well, even more northward, further away from the Mizbeach, were Shmona Amudim Nanosim, eight short pillars. Nanosim literally means dwarfs, so it's referring to very short pillars, which was shorter than the height of a person. A ravine shall erez al gabehen, there were squares made of cedar wood placed on top of these pillars, von kolois shall barz lahi gvun bohen, with iron hooks fixed to these square pieces of wood. It was hard to stick iron into the stone pillars, that's why they had these wooden blocks on top of them. Ushloish shall sedorim hoilach al echad echad, and each of the pillars had three rows of hooks, which means that there were three hooks, one above the other. Since different animals are brought for different korbanos, some animals are larger than others, and therefore the larger the animal, the higher the hook that was used, because shebohen tolim mafshitin, they would hang the animals on these hooks and skin them and take the different parts of the animal out, and they would disembody the animal, on marble tables which were in between these pillars, they would rest the head of the animal on these low tables, whilst the feet of the animal were hanging from the hooks at the top of these pillars. So after the actual slaughtering and killing of the animal in the area right north next to the Mizbeach, next to the altar in the courtyard, after that they would bring the animals to the area even more northward of the Mizbeach and skin the animals in the way that was just described. Mishnah Vov, Hakior Herbin Ulam La Mizbeach, the Kior, which was the special sink that was used to wash the hands and feet of the Kohanim before they served in the Beis HaMikdash, that was situated in between the ulam and the Mizbeach, the altar which was in the courtyard. The ulam, as we've seen a number of times, is the area directly in front of the heichal, which is the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. There would be curtains at the entrance of the ulam, and after walking a little distance, one would reach the doors of the actual heichal, the actual Beis HaMikdash building. So in between the ulam and the Mizbeach, in that area of the courtyard, that was where the Kior was situated. It was pulled, so to speak, in the southern direction, which means that it wasn't literally in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Only widthways, that's true. The area of the courtyard, which is sort of further in towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the most inner part of the courtyard closest to the building, that's where the Kior was situated. But it wasn't literally in between the Mizbeach and the building. the Heichal. All right. Bein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach, shtayim v'esem amo. There were 22 amos in between the ulam, the entranceway in front of the Heichal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mizbeach, meaning the area of the courtyard beyond the Mizbeach, towards the building of the Heichal, but before the Ulam, that was 22 amos long. Ushteim esrei malis hoisham, there were 12 steps within that area, which took up, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, as we're going to see, it took up 19 out of those 22 amos. So there would be a space of 3 amos between the Mizbeach and the first step. And then the steps towards the Heichal took up 19 amos altogether, which the Mishnah will now describe how that width of 19 amos was split up. Ruma malo chatzi amor. The height of all of the steps was half an amor, just like all of the steps in the Beis HaMikdash. But whereas all of the other steps in the Beis HaMikdash also had a width, the top part of the step where one steps on was also half an amor, that was not the case for the steps towards the Ulam. Rather, the Shilcha Amor, the top part of the step where one steps on, was an Amor wide. And then Amor Amor, the next two steps were also an Amor wide. The Reved Shalesh, and then there was a fourth wider step. A Reved in this context means a wider step, which was 3 Amors wide. And then the Amor Amor, there were another two steps which were an Amor wide. The Reved Shalesh, and a wider step, which was 3 Amors wide. The Hoel Yoina, and the most upper section of these steps was Amor Amor. Each of the steps was an Amor wide, and the truth is there were 4 steps now which were an Amor wide, and then V'Revet Arba, there was a wider step which was 4 Amos wide until one reached the actual Ulam, the entranceway in front of the Heichal. Rabbi Huda says, Ho'el Yoino, the upper section of these steps, it's true that each of the first 4 steps of this upper section was Amor Amor, an Amor wide each, but the top step wasn't just 4 Amos wide, but for Reved Chomesh, there was a wide step which was 5 Amos wide. So if you do the calculation, it emerges that according to Rabbi Yehuda, all of these steps made up a distance not of 19 Amos, but of 20 Amos. Which also means that the distance between the Mizbeach and the beginning of these steps wasn't 3 Amos, but it was only 2 Amos. Because everybody agrees that there was only 22 amos altogether in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. So if the steps took up 20 amos according to Rabbi Yehuda, that means there were only 2 amos of a gap in between the Mizbeach and the beginning of these steps. Mishnah Gimel, the final 2 Mishnahs of the Perek talk about the Ulam itself, which is the entrance area in front of the Heichal, in front of the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ulam was really a very wide room, even wider than the Heichal itself, although obviously it was much shorter than the Heichal. And the Ulam already had a roof on top of it. The courtyard didn't have a roof. The Azara, where the vast majority of services in the Beis HaMikdash took place, was not roofed. However, the Ulam, which was the entranceway in front of the Heichal, was roofed just like the Heichal itself had a roof. And this Mishnah discusses the entrance into the Ulam, and the next Mishnah discusses the appearance of the Ulam itself. The entrance to the Ulam had a height of 40 amos, unlike all of the other entrances, the other gates and doors of the Beis HaMikdash, which were only 20 amos high. The Ulam had a much higher entrance, although it wasn't a door, it was a curtain, but it was 40 amos tall, v'rochbo esrim amo, and it had a width of 20 amos, which is once again a width which is double the width of the other entrances in the Beis HaMikdash. There were 5 decorated pieces of some sort of ashwood on top of this massive entranceway. There were 5 beams of wood, which were themselves massive and beautifully decorated. The lowest of these 5 massive, beautiful beams extended beyond the width of the entrance itself by an amor on each side. So the entrance, the curtain itself, took up a space of 20 amos wide, and the bottom beam was 22 amos wide, which means that it extended 1 amor on each side of the entrance. The beam which was above that extended over the bottom beam by an amor on each side, which means that that beam was 24 amos wide. So that extra width was split in between each side, and it extended over the bottom beam by an amor on each side. And that was the pattern for the width of all of these beams. Nimtzeis, it emerges, Hol Yoina, the highest of these 5 beams, Shaleshim Amor, was 30 amos wide. And the Mishnah ends off that, V'nidboch shel avonim hayo bein kol achzor achas. There was a row made up of square stones in between each of these five beams. So it wasn't as if the five beams were one on top of the other. There was a gap filled with square stones in between each of these beams. And all of this was the appearance of the part of the wall of the Ulam's entrance, which was on top of the actual entrance, which was taken up by a curtain. Mishnah Ches. Uchloinsois shel erez hoikavu mekoseh shel heichal lekoseh shel ulam. There were large beams made out of cedar wood, which were fixed in between the wall of the actual heichal, the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the wall of the ulam. Kedei shelo yivatz, so that none of these two walls caves in or falls in, because the walls were absolutely towering. They were roughly 50 meters tall, and in order to support these massive structures, the massive walls, there were beams going across from one wall to the other. There were golden chains which were fixed from the roof of the ulam. Like we mentioned, even the ulam, which is this large, wide room, wide in one direction, widthways, it also had a roof, and there were golden chains hanging from the roof all the way downwards, almost until it reached the floor. And the Mishnah adds a very interesting fact. Shabohen pirchei kahuna oilin. Young fit koyanim would climb up these golden chains, v'roinus ha'atorois, in order that they would be able to see the crowns, which were placed in the windows, which were above the entrance, above the doors, at the beginning of the heichal. In that part of the wall of the heichal, there were some windows, and in those windows, at the bottom of the window was a kind of shelf, created by the fact that the wall of the heichal was pretty thick, and there were golden crowns placed in these windows. Where exactly did these crowns come from? So the truth is, the prophet Zechariah received donations of a large amount of gold, and he was told that crowns should be made out of this gold and placed in the Beis HaMikdash. And as the pasuk says, v'ha'toreis tiel chelem, the crowns will be for chelem l'tovia v'lidaya l'chein ben tzfanya. These are the names of the people who donated the gold. Lizikorin will be a remembrance for those people who donated that for the Beis HaMikdash, Peheichal Hashem, in the Heichal of Hashem, in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That was the background to these crowns. The Mishnah adds, Gefen shel zohov hoisai medes al pischei shel heichal. A golden vine stood at the entrance of the Heichal, of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Umudla gabi klinsis, it was draped over wooden beams which protruded out of the wall above the entrance of the heichal. They jotted out of the wall. And really that's the way that regular vines grow, by draping them over wooden structures. And the Mishnah now adds that it was possible for people to constantly add more gold to this grapevine structure. Komishu misnadiv ole, anybody who donated a golden leaf, a gargir, or a golden single grape, a eshkol, or a golden cluster, some of which, especially in the first Beis HaMikdash, ended up being absolutely huge golden clusters of grapes. And anybody who wished to donate some gold to the Beis HaMikdash, mevi v'toyle bo, which literally means he would come and hang the gold on the vine himself. Although, obviously, if he wasn't a koyein, he was forbidden to enter into this part of the Beis HaMikdash, so he would do so via a koyein. And it's unclear what exactly the procedure was for donating such gold for the Beis HaMikdash. Many understand that we're actually talking about somebody who's donating gold towards the Beis HaMikdash, not to permanently remain on this vine for decorative purposes, but rather for the money from that gold to go towards the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. However, for as long as that money is not necessarily needed for immediate use, they would use it as a decoration, as part of this golden, massively magnificent structure. But later on, when they did need the money for the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash, they would take some gold from that structure and use it for that purpose. Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik says, Maisahoya, there was a story which occurred that they needed to move this golden vine for whatever reason, or perhaps they needed to clean it, whatever the reason may be. V'nimnu aleha shalosh meis koyanim, and there were 300 koyanim who were appointed to help to move it, which shows the huge size and weight of this massive golden vine. Although the truth is the number 300 is often used in Mishnayos and Gemara as a number of exaggeration. And likewise over here, this is an exaggeration, but the idea is certainly clear that this golden vine was a huge and magnificent structure of decoration.